Good morning, Three Timbers Church. I truly hope that you enjoyed worship with Grant and the worship team just a minute ago. I'm so grateful that you are continuing to join us this morning online and that you're continuing to engage with God as we continue on in worship. Psalm 100 tells us to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, to come before him with songs of praise. And you know, that's why we sing praises to God. It's because his word tells us to do so on a regular basis. Another part of worship is to hear his word and apply it to our lives. So would you pray with me right now as we get ready to hear what God has to say to all of us this morning? Well, Father God, we just want to come before you today. And Lord, we want to take this time to set it aside to hear what you want to tell us. Not what anybody else is saying. We don't want to be distracted by everything else that's going on in our lives. But Lord, we want to hear from you today. So God, I'm just inviting you into this place right now to take over this time together and to speak from your word so that we can be inspired in a way to live our lives more like you. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. In your name, amen. Well, hey, I know you guys are watching right now, so I'm going to try something with you as the online audience. I'm going to do the exact same thing right now with our in-person crowd as well, but we're going to do a sociological experiment together. Right now, I want you to do something for me. Take a look wherever you're watching this video. Get ready to push the like button. The reason why I want you to push the like button is this. If you have a smartphone within arm's reach, right now, push the like button. Oh, I'll give you a minute. Looks like this. If you got a smartphone right now, push the like button. And the in-person crowd right now is doing the exact same thing. If they have a smartphone within reach, they're raising their hand right now because I have a theory, you guys. I have a theory that each and every one of us is extremely attached to our phones. The reason why I say that is because recently, a study coming out from the Pew Research Center in 2020 said that over 90% of Americans virtually spend all day next to their phones, where the phone is somewhere on their person. So I'm assuming right now that 90% of you guys, at least 90%, liked this video. I'm assuming right now that at least 90% of our in-house audience is raising their hand because all of us have got this interesting obsession, this new connection to our smartphones. And I'm not here to bash smartphones. That's not what today is all about. But you know what? A smartphone is a tool. It's an incredible device, maybe the most significant device in all of human history that connects us to information, to relationships, to entertainment. It connects us to the world. In that same study by the Pew Research Center, they came out with a couple of really startling statistics. Did you guys know that 60% of adults in 2020 get all of their news from a smartphone? 60% of adults get all of their news, whether it's national, international, local, community, or grandma and grandpa sending you an update on what they had for lunch. 60% of adults get all of their news from a smartphone. To go beyond that, 86% of adults say the majority of their news comes from a smartphone. Virtually 9 out of 10 people in the United States right now get the vast majority of their information in the world and their communities from their phones. Truly, a smartphone is an unprecedented device, giving us access to the world around us. And like I said just a minute ago, it's a tool. Whether good or bad, news about our world is constantly streaming through our phones. Now, I'm not super old, but I am old enough to remember a time when smartphones didn't exist. And like all the middle schoolers in our church love to remind me every single week how old I actually am, I can remember a time where phones were attached to walls. And they had cords, and you had to talk quietly when you were talking to your girlfriend because you knew your mom was listening in the kitchen. I come from a time before smartphones, so I have an appreciation for smartphones and just how truly significant they become in our society. Yeah, there was a time before smartphones, and back then we used to get our news and our information about the world in a very different way. If you would with me, let's go all the way back to one century ago, at the very end of the 19th century into the beginning of the 20th century. Are you with me? Back then, news traveled in a very different way. The most popular way to get your information was called a newspaper. Now, if you're 10 and under right now and you're watching, a newspaper is news that's printed out on pieces of paper that you read. Don't panic. You can look it up on your smartphone. You'll learn all about it. Don't freak out. But newspapers were the most common form of communication back in the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. Did you know that the way news was distributed throughout all of the major cities was through a really interesting group, a ragtag group of paper boys that they called newsies way back in the day? And yeah, my wife right now is smiling very largely because I just said newsies. And Newsies happens to be one of her favorite musicals. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend that you check out the show Newsies. Great musical with a very young Christian Bale leading. And it's about a story of paper boys delivering newspapers in the city of New York. And that's exactly what would happen a century ago. News traveled through the papers, and it was distributed by these paper boys who would literally stand in the middle of the street, shouting at the top of their lungs the headlines of the day. And all they were trying to do was to get people to come over and give them a couple of pennies to pay for a newspaper. That's how these newsies made their money. Their whole life was dependent on sharing the news in their world. That is all that they were doing with their day. That was all that they did with their lives, even as young boys, some as young as 10 years old. This was their livelihood, to be a newsie. Yes, news was distributed in a very different way a century ago. Today, we don't have this anymore. We have smartphones that instantaneously give us information of the world. But back then, we had a very different method, and these newsies were really on the forefront of connecting each and every community to other facets of the world. Why am I sharing this story with you? Well, it's because I want to try to challenge you with something today. I want to challenge you with the concept that Christians are called to be spiritual newsies to distribute the good news of Jesus Christ. Whoa, what a stretch. Let me say it again. I want to challenge you today with the new concept that Christians are supposed to be the newsies of even today. We're supposed to be the paper boys of the 21st century, sharing and distributing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us. That is what I believe our mission is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, check it out. Mark 16:15, Jesus is speaking, and he himself says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Yeah, guys, we are supposed to be sending out the news of Jesus Christ, sending out the good news of the gospel, the redemption story that we're about to celebrate come Easter. We are supposed to be sending that news into the entire world. That is our mission in life. Very similar to Mark 16, Matthew 28, Jesus tells us that we need to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, not some of the world, not part of the nations, but all of them. Our job is to distribute the good news of Jesus to anyone and everyone around us. Even in the New Testament, people were learning to distribute the good news of Jesus to friends in their community. Would you mind jumping in with me as we're going to read a story here about some friends that did exactly that? They brought the good news of Jesus to somebody that needed help. So let's jump in together. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to be starting in verse 17, so I'm going to give you a second to get there. That was a second. Let's jump in. On one of those days, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal whoever was in his midst. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But check this out. But finding no way to bring him inside because the crowd was too large, they went up to the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before. It's a pretty cool, pretty entertaining story. This is a great one to tell with kids in our children's ministry because you get to show kids that they literally walked up to a roof and they dropped a guy down in the middle of a room before Jesus. And it's a pretty cool story. But I don't know if we are paying attention to what's really going on here. We have some friends that have been taking care of a lame man, a paralyzed man who probably has been paralyzed his entire life. And he's not a young boy. He's a man, according to this passage. So most of his life, he's been dealing with this ailment. And his friends are so dedicated, check that out, dedicated to bringing this man to the good news of Jesus, that despite the crowd around them and despite all of the limitations and the obstacles they had to confront, these friends found a way to find the rooftop and to lower their friend into the midst of Jesus. Truly, these friends understood that we are all called to bring the good news of the gospel to anyone and everyone, regardless of the obstacles in our way. Truly, these friends understood that Jesus was more important than any crowd telling them they couldn't come in, than any place telling them they couldn't make it, or anyone saying this was inappropriate or it wasn't proper to do this in Jesus' midst today. Truly, they understood that bringing someone to Jesus was more important than anything else. You guys, let me ask you this question. How far would you go to bring someone to Jesus? That's a tough question. Let me ask it again. How far would you go to bring someone to Jesus? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands in your home. I'm not going to ask the in-person audience to raise their hands here. That's not what we're about, but let me tell you. According to what I know about Scripture and what I know about the American church, I'm going to assume a lot of us would say, we wouldn't go very far. We would not be willing to carry a friend blocks on top of blocks, maybe even miles on top of miles in their bed. We probably wouldn't be willing to carry that same friend through a massive crowd of people bumping into everyone along the way. We definitely probably wouldn't be willing to carry this friend up on top of a rooftop to embarrass ourselves for the sheer hope that Jesus might see our friend. A lot of us probably wouldn't go very far to share Jesus. And I can say this because that's me. There have been times in my life, and maybe you can relate to this as well, but there have been times in my life where I wasn't willing to go very far to share the good news of Jesus with somebody else. I wasn't a very good newsy for the gospel. Let me tell you a story about a friend of mine. His name's Nick. Nick and I, we grew up together. We met in middle school and early in high school, and we got to know each other really well, but we came from different families and different backgrounds. Nick's family did not go to church. Nick's family did not believe in God. And yet he and I created this friendship together. And the friendship lasted from our early teenage years all the way through our college years and into our 20s. We were in each other's weddings. And we're still friends to this day. But let me tell you something. I'm just going to be honest from the heart. I never brought the good news of Jesus to my friend Nick in high school. I never brought the good news of Jesus to my friend Nick when we were in college. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until I was somewhere around 22, 23, maybe even 24 years old, where Nick and I were having this conversation. Obviously, Nick knew that I was in ministry. Nick knew that I was a church guy. He knew that I was a Christian. And we were fine with that. We had a great relationship. But it wasn't until I was about 22, 23 years old when we were talking together just one-on-one one night. And all of a sudden, the conversation got pretty deep. And he started talking about, what do you think happens after we die? We started talking about, who do you think created the universe? Do you think it was evolution or do you think it was intelligent design? It wasn't until a very profound night, 10 years after we had been friends, that finally I mustered up the courage to share my faith with Nick. Finally, I mustered up the courage to share the good news of Jesus with Nick. Now, the story isn't all that impressive, I'm gonna be honest. We had a great conversation, but he didn't change his mind. He didn't start going to church. He did not put his faith in Jesus. But you know what he did say to me that night? And this sticks with me even to this day. He looked me in the eyes and he said, "Joe, we've been friends for 10 years. Why have you not told me about this most important part of your life up until now?" And I didn't have a good answer. But the reality was, I was not willing to go very far to bring someone to Jesus, even a longtime friend, even someone that I had known for a long time. I wasn't willing to go very far. I wasn't willing to do very many awkward things or have those tough conversations or put myself out there for the sake of the gospel. But as we learn in Luke 5, there's hope, you guys, because these friends, that's exactly what they did. So let's learn from their example. Let's not learn from my example with Nick. Praise God that I've learned how to share the gospel with other people. My hope today is that you could learn that same thing too. Let's jump back into Luke 5 together. You see, when Jesus saw the faith of the friends, when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Now at this, the scribes and the Pharisees who were also in the room began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, yes, Jesus could read their thoughts. Why? Because he's God. That's what he does. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' which he said to the man who was paralyzed, or, 'I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home'?" And at that exact moment, immediately, the lame man, the paralyzed man, rose up before them, picked up his bed he had been lying on, and he went home, glorifying God the entire way. At this, in amazement, seized the entire room. Everyone was amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." And that's how the story ends. You know what? Here's the cool thing about the story. Let's talk about Jesus for a second. Jesus is going to be Jesus. In any situation, when we ask Jesus to participate in our lives, when we ask him to step in, you know what he's going to do? He is going to be Jesus. That's exactly what he's going to do. And when they brought the paralyzed man into that room through the roof, Jesus was Jesus. He understood that he was going to forgive this man's sin because of the profound faith that this man and his friends had in his personhood as the Son of God. Jesus understood that, and he was going to forgive this man's sin. Why? Because Jesus is Jesus. He is God incarnate in flesh. That is who Jesus is. He is always going to be Jesus. And then he's going to understand that people are going to judge what's going on. People are going to doubt what's going on. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were saying, "No one but God can forgive sins. How dare you, some rabbi from the middle of nowhere in Nazareth, how dare you try to forgive sins like only God can?" And to that, Jesus understood exactly what they were meaning. They were calling out his divinity. They were calling out his personhood as the Son of God. And he said, "Hey, which do you think is harder, to forgive sins or to heal a paralyzed man?" And at that very moment, the paralyzed man got up and walked, and everybody in the room, including the Pharisees, understood that Jesus was not a regular man. Jesus is always going to be Jesus. The people who understood that in this story are the friends that brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They understood that, and that's why we see a miracle. You see, as we are Christians called to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world, one thing that we can be rested and assured is that Jesus is always going to be Jesus when we bring people to him. He's always going to respond when people bring the gospel, the good news message of himself to those around us. That's always going to happen. The friends of this lame man, they understood three things that they were willing to do to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Check it out. First off, they knew that the crowd was going to push back when they showed up. They knew it. They knew this was a packed house. They knew that nobody wanted to give up their spot. Everybody wanted to see the new trendy, happy rabbi that was so popular in the region. Everybody wanted to see him. Nobody was going to get out of the way. They knew they were going to have an obstacle with the crowd. Another thing that these friends knew is that the Pharisees were going to be there. And the Pharisees had a very unique position back then. Not only were they the religious leaders of the day, but they also had incredible political and legal authority in the region because the religion was also the law of the nation. So the fact that these friends knew the Pharisees were there and knew that they were going to go and ask Jesus to perform a miracle in front of the very people who did not believe in Jesus' authority, that's a risk. They knew that they were about to defy the local leaders to get to Jesus. But they didn't care. They understood that, but they didn't care. And why didn't they care? Because they were putting their hope in something that made zero sense to everyone in the room except for those who understood who Jesus was. And what did I just say? Jesus is always going to be Jesus when we bring someone before him. That's exactly what these friends who were willing to walk up the roof, that's exactly what they knew. They knew that Jesus was going to be Jesus no matter what. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it puts it this way. It's so incredible. It says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Have you ever thought about that before? The message of Jesus, it's foolishness to people who don't understand it, to people who don't believe in God, to people who have nothing to do with the gospel message. It's foolishness to them. We should understand that they're probably going to judge us just like the Pharisees did. They're probably going to push us away just like the crowd did to the friends. We must understand that the message of the cross is foolishness to the world because they don't understand it. And yet, the verse goes on to say, but to us who are being saved, to us that understand the power of the good news of Jesus, it is the power of God. When you bring someone to Jesus, expect the unexpected. If I had to sum up this verse, when you bring somebody to Jesus, you better expect that the unexpected is about to happen. Oh man, I wish you guys were in the audience right now because I'm getting an amen from everybody in the room. But that's exactly what I mean here. When you bring someone to Jesus, we have the confidence, we have the entitlement to expect the unexpected to happen. Just like when those young boys were standing in those big cities back in the early 20th century, yelling at the top of their lungs, about the headlines of the day, expecting somebody to show up and take their information, expecting someone to show up and buy their newspaper. When we bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people around us, we can expect the unexpected. We can expect Jesus to be Jesus. And we can expect the world to change around us. I'm so inspired by this story of the four friends who carried up their paralyzed brother. The reason why I'm so inspired by it is because it's just so much better than what I have been most of my life. As I was just telling you about my story with Nick, I feel like a lot of my life I have restrained myself. I haven't been willing to go very far to share the good news of Jesus. And I'm trying to get better. I really hope that you guys are too. I hope that you're realizing through today's message the importance of getting the good news to other people because literally eternity is on the line. And I'm just so inspired by these friends because they were willing to go to whatever length it took to bring their friend before Christ. So we have to ask ourselves a question today. Are we willing to go to whatever length it takes to bring our friend before Christ, whatever friend that is? I don't know your story, only you do, but you know right now in your head, just like I know in my head right now, people in our lives that don't know Jesus, people that are lost, people that are confused, people that may know about religion, but they don't know the one Savior of the world. They don't have that relationship. They only know the religion. We all have people in our lives who are lost, confused, distant from God. And all of us have an opportunity every single day to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to them. To be just like the smartphones are today, notifying those that we love that there is good news out there and they should click on it. Notifying people around us that there is something better than what they have at the moment and they should check it out. And yet, if you're like me, you might struggle to share the good news of Jesus. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine from several years ago. And one thing that he told me that really stuck with me is that if we truly believe in the power of the gospel, then our actions should always be doing whatever it takes to share the gospel with those around us. And the way he said it to me with an illustration, the way he said it to me was this: hey, Joe, if you have the cure for cancer, why would you sit on it? If you have the cure for heart disease, or if you have the cure for heartbreak, why would you withhold it from the world? We're experiencing that even right now as vaccines are going around the world trying to rid what's going on with this pandemic from COVID. And it is spreading like wildfire because people want to have a cure for what's going on. We have the ultimate cure. We have Jesus. Why are we sitting on it? And I remember sitting there as I was listening to this pastor, a mentor of mine from years ago, and I didn't have a good answer for him. I was like, well, yeah, if you had the cure for some horrible disease, you would do everything you can to share it with people around you. And he looked at me and he said, Joe, that's exactly what we have. Just like I said it to you, that's exactly what we have. We have Jesus, the ultimate cure for everything. Why are we not sharing it with those around us? And that is so convicting for me, even to say to you. Because even as we're talking right now, oh man, you guys, God is talking to me because I know I've got people in my life that I need to be sharing the gospel more with. People that I need to push through whatever obstacle is going on so that I can bring these friends of mine to Jesus. Just like the friends brought their paralyzed friend before Jesus in that room in Luke 5. Let me ask you some questions. Because as we're going to bring this to a close, I really want to take some time and put you in an opportunity to do some business with God in your own heart, to take a look at yourself right now and to say, hey, God, I really need to start sharing your good news a little bit more often. I really need to be a newsie for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you some questions. First one, are you bringing the good news to people in your life? Can you say true? Maybe you have to say false. That's not you. It doesn't have to be the end of the story. That story could change right now. Question number two, how far are you willing to go to bring someone to Jesus? These amazing friends in Luke 5, they're willing to go through massive crowds. They're willing to journey maybe miles on top of miles. They're willing to defy the local authorities and carry a man up on top of a roof just to get him in front of Jesus. Why? Because they knew that Jesus was going to be Jesus and a miracle was going to happen because they expected the unexpected. What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go to bring someone to Jesus? And question number three, you guys, do you believe Jesus is able to do things that don't make sense? Do you truly believe that? These friends, they believe that with all their hearts. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered to do it. They fully believe that Jesus was going to be able to perform a miracle that day. And because of their confidence and that belief, they were willing to go to whatever length it took to get their friend in front of Christ. Do you truly believe that Jesus is able to do things that just don't make sense in order to bring his creation into his own family? Let's take some time. We're going to reflect on those questions with this next song, and we'll come back together.